This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed, located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our special guest is Dawn Sipley. As you listen to Dawn, you'll be benefiting from insights from an individual who has been an employee of a small business called Link Staffing and has risen to the status of part-time owner. In her 10 years at Link Staffing, Dawn has helped grow the business from about $500,000 to over $4 million. Dawn, it's an honor to have you here today.
Thank you so much.
All right, cool. Everybody out there is interested in a little bit about you as a person before we get into some of your ideas and thoughts. You graduated from University of Central Florida.
Yes, sir. I certainly did.
Okay. What did you study there?
Business with an emphasis in HR management.
Okay. So you've been interested in HR a long time.
I have. I had a mentor at a young age that worked for Albertsons, actually, and she would share her stories with me. And I just found them so fascinating that I kind of realized that the people business was something that interested me.
One of the things that that people are always wondering is how much outside service should I be doing in the community? And you have a profile that focuses on outside service and the linkages that you make that way. You're the chair of the Economic Development Commission with the Sanford Chamber, is that right?
Yes, yes.
What do you do in that capacity?
Well, what we do is we actually go out as chamber members and interview small business owners that are inside the Sanford city limits, find out what's going good for them, what are their challenges, where they need help, introductions that would assist them in doing business in Sanford. And then we're able to take that information back to the city and bring resources that small business owners need.
Okay, good. And you're also an ambassador for the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
What is the Christian Chamber and what do you do as an ambassador?
The Christian Chamber is just that. We are a Christian Chamber of Commerce that's looking to build business and build kingdom. And my role as an ambassador is to promote the chamber and be any assistance that I can be to the president and its members.
You know, maybe the most important thing is your family. And you have a young man in your family.
I do.
In the Boy Scouts.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Bray is 14. He is a freshman in high school now, and he's actually been in scouting since he was a Tiger. So he's actually what they call a life scout. So since the first grade, my husband and I have both had leadership roles in scouting, and he's a first-class scout right now. That's his ranking.
Okay.
So looking forward to him eagling.
All right. Good. Now, you also have a very interesting background and actually are an inspiration, I think, to all of us early in life in terms of your homelessness and your mother passing at a very early age.
Yes.
How did that inspire you to do the things that you're doing right now? How did you make that transition? A lot of people are in that capacity, in that same situation, and they're looking, they're seeking.
Well, I think poverty is something that is certainly generational. Unfortunately, poor people have a tendency to have poor babies, and the cycle just keeps on going. But I remember at a very early age, I realized that I did not want to repeat that cycle, and I realized education was going to be what broke me out of that. So I was emancipated at 16 through the court system and was on my own and put myself through college. Then just after I graduated from college, my mother passed away when she was 44 suddenly. Mm-hmm. So I gained custody of my little sister who was 16 and just promise that I was never going to look back and I wasn't going to dwell. I'm not a victim of anything. And I really felt that the Lord had a reason in all of my suffering.
You know, it's an inspiration, really, to all of us, and you're to be congratulated.
Thank you.
Well, you're more than welcome for that. All right, let's make a shift now, because we have a lot of business leaders out there who are also saying, tell us about Dawn and some of the things she does. So let's start with an overview of Link Staffing.
Yeah, absolutely. We are a national franchise. Chris, my business partner, and I, we own the Central Florida franchise. We have two locations, one here in Sanford and one in South Orlando.
When you look at the activities that you do, you specialize in skilled trades?
We do.
And what does that mean?
Skilled trades are the people that kind of make the world go round. Your plumbers, your carpenters, your auto body painters, your roofers. They're the guys out there breaking a sweat and keeping everything together.
When you think about this idea of skilled trades, you also do executive placement.
We do. We do. Really, I say anyone who's been doing what they do for more than 5 years is a good candidate for us to talk to. So not only do we work with those skilled tradesmen, but we also work with attorneys, paralegals, CPAs, things like that.
So you probably have a dual challenge in terms of helping other people find the right people.
Yes.
But you also have the challenge of helping you find the right people.
Yes.
How many people are on your staff, and how long have they been there?
Chris and I have four team members under us, and we actually have excellent tenure in our organization. The staffing company in general has very high turnover. It's a difficult business that we're in. People are probably your most unpredictable product on earth. They can get up and change their minds at any time. And so we have about 85 years between all of us as far as years of experience and staffing.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's interested to find out more about the company itself, the website is linkstaffing.com, linkstaffing.com. All right. One of the things that you do is to help people create different kinds of career paths.
Yes.
Everybody who's listening is at some stage of a career path, whether it's the beginning, the middle, or toward the end. Tell us what you do about career pathing, maybe some insights for them in developing their own career paths.
Really, I think self-investing is the biggest thing that you can do to help your career path. And you should invest in a company or not invest in a company as much as you invest in yourself. Is kind of what I have a tendency to say. So learning your own skill sets, knowing your industry, pouring into yourself, and you will create any career path that you desire if you do that hard work.
And do you actually teach people how to develop career paths in their companies?
Yes, that's actually one of my passions. I do a lot of talks around town to two different types of audiences. One of them is to the employees to teach them how to make that career path for themselves. And then the other is to the employers to teach them how to create jobs that have career paths inside of their company.
Maybe a couple of tips.
Yeah, absolutely. When you're building job descriptions, they need to be tiered to where one position can roll into another, and then also have the idea of having people cross-trained in your company to where they can do multiple positions. Because sometimes you can have a person in a position that's a great employee, but maybe not passionate about the duties that they're performing. And so to be able to transfer that person over to a different department where maybe they can find more of their passion and their natural talent, and realizing that if someone isn't working out in a position, maybe it's just the job duties and not the actual person that's the issue.
I guess in that kind of a circumstance, somebody needs to have a pretty good idea of what their candidate pool is.
Yes.
For different kinds of, how do you monitor that as it goes along?
Well, the pendulum has certainly swung in a complete opposite direction. You know, during the recession, we had a huge pool of candidates and very little companies hiring. And now we have the opposite with an unemployment rate hovering around 4%. There are no candidates in the pool. And all the companies are hiring. So really right now, knowing who your competition is, knowing who their best employees are, that's your candidate pool.
If you were talking to a potential candidate and that person was interviewing different kinds of organizations, maybe there were two or three that they were in the process of saying, this is or isn't the organization I want.
Right.
And they were interested in not just a job, but a career.
Mm-hmm.
What would you advise them to look for in these companies that says, this is where a career is enabled for me? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. The first question that I would probably ask is ask the tenure of the current employees. If they're not keeping people over 5 years, that's not going to be a career path. So ask how long other members have been there. Another good question to ask is what has created this job to be open? Was someone fired? Did someone quit? Is there growth? And so the position naturally opened up. Finding out why you're being placed in this position is a key to really finding success and what kind of obstacles that you'll face once you're in that role.
All right, good. Let's shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
Let's talk about some highlights in your career and things that have led you to this circumstance that you're in now.
Okay.
Tell me about a few career highlights that have led you to the position that you're in. And I guess things like many hats and issues like you're hired to do something, but maybe that job changes. Has any of that happened to you?
Oh, absolutely. I've been with my company now for about 10 years. And when I started, I was a part-time employee and the recession had just come into full swing. So I remember Chris coming into my office and saying, if you want to keep your job, you better go sell something. And I was like, whoa, I'm a recruiter. I don't know how to sell anything. But I did because I really needed to keep my job. I had a young family. And then I did that well. And then he said, well, you got people paying us money or we have invoices out there. Now you need to go collect the money. I said, whoa, I don't do accounts receivable, but I did. And so I went out there and I collected the money and then we were growing and we hired employees under me. And he's like, well, okay, well now you need to manage these employees and teach them what you do. And I'm like, whoa, I'm not a manager. And so it was just constant, being open to learning something and being uncomfortable in the role and kind of feeling your way through that position. And reading after hours was instrumental to me learning how to do a job that I really had no idea how to do. So it was lots of growth.
Good thought. So your advice then would to be flexible.
Absolutely.
In that regard.
Absolutely.
Do you think that there's a relationship between the size of the organization and the number of hats you have to wear?
Yes. The larger the organization, typically the more niche that your role is going to be.
Okay.
I really love working for a small business. And with a small business, I struggled a little bit in the corporate world just because I would get a little bored. I'm a bit of a butterfly and I like to do many things and in many ways. So being a part of a small business and having a leader that allows you to make mistakes and learn and grow, I think has really been key to me becoming the professional that I am today.
And when you think about it, we're really suggesting or advising to someone listening that if you're in a smaller company, the odds are that you're going to have to do a lot of different kinds of things.
Absolutely.
And not become a specialist in that regard. You have two challenges here, one customers, one inside the organization. And what advice would you give to someone who is taking over your job, let's say tomorrow?
Do it with love. I think if you do everything with love, then the end result will come out favorably. You can't do it for the almighty dollar and you can't do it for ego. But if you're there to serve my internal employees that are coming to me relying on their jobs, they're able to serve our field staff who are out there, you know, working, and they're able to serve our clients who have a need or and are in a storm of some sort during the hiring transition.
The primary theme of all the podcasts is how to put business and Bible together.
Absolutely.
And as I listen to you, I hear lots of biblical themes come through in your ideas and in your conversation. And I guess what I'm thinking about is this idea of love and the way people might think about love. And I think you're using it in a particular way, almost a biblical way.
Yes.
How would you define love for the listeners?
I mean, agape's love is the most precious. And I think when you do things with an unconditional love, people pick up on that, you know, and they see your why. Why are you in business, not what are you in business to do?
Yes, yes. And that seems to make good business sense as well, does it not?
Absolutely.
And what's the business side of that? One's the biblical side, but it contributes to the business. What's the business side of it?
Well, at the end of the day, when you're in living a role that is Christ-like, I think you attract like people and you push away and repel people that you wouldn't necessarily get along with in the business world. So when you're strong in your faith and in your standing, you end up doing business with a whole bunch of really cool, you know.
So in a way, it helps you to mold the type of culture and the personnel that you have.
Absolutely.
In the organization. And I guess even if someone isn't a Christian, but they see you caring for them in a way that you're out looking for their support and helping to support them, that becomes a way of really committing people
yes.
to the organization and the productivity in their jobs.
Absolutely.
Okay. I love the parable of the vineyard workers. And you do too.
I do. It is in my email signature of every email that I send out. And it's really a blessing when people Google it and look it up and go, that's really remarkable. And it just, for me, it has more than one meaning behind it.
All right. People may not know the parable of the vineyard workers.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about a capsule of
okay.
of the theme here.
So it's about a landowner that goes to market and he needs some laborers. And so he goes into the city and he pulls some laborers starting in the morning and he says, I'll pay you 20 denarius for your labor for the day. And so they go to work. And then he goes back at noon and he gets more workers and he offers them the same 20. And then he goes back in the late afternoon and he gets more workers and he offers them the same 20. And at the end of the day, he calls in the morning workers and said, hey, here's your 20 denarius. And the workers say, well, that's not fair. Why does the guy at the end of the day get the same that I received?
Right.
And much of what I do is salary negotiation. And it's probably my favorite part of the job. And the landowner says, did we not have an agreement? Didn't you agree that you would do a day's wage for $20? What I give him, ultimately, he's saying, is really none of your business. And so in the business sense of it, I find it quite humorous because I see a lot of that very real world, you know, in the day-to-day operations of my business. But on the biblical sense, I think it speaks to the fact that as Christians, there can be some self-righteousness among us, especially those who have been saved longer than others. But in the end, the prize is all the same. We all get to go to heaven. None of us is getting paid any more than the other. But one of us is a little bit luckier to have been in the Lord's presence.
So that as we look at this, each podcast has a feature called Sunday to Monday.
Okay.
And you take a verse or a concept that you might hear in church and use it.
Apply
on
to your work.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that want to find out more about this, this is our Sunday to Monday. It's Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And one of the things that happened is that Jesus really confronted by saying, why are you jealous of me being kind to someone else?
Yes.
So in a way, it also tells us that when we're in organizations, that jealousy may be created by kindness, mm-hmm. and that we need to be aware of that and alert and deal with it if we can. Okay, good. You know, and each podcast ends with a pearl of wisdom.
Okay.
Some bit of advice that you would like to give to someone, and yes, we are at the end of the podcast. What would that advice be?
Well, Revelations 1:8 is probably my second most favorite scripture, and that speaks to God being the Alpha and the Omega. And then Galatians 6:9 speaks to the Lord just wanting us to be blessed. So just go through your workday, know that you're blessed, and know that Christ is our Alpha and Omega.
Dawn, I want to thank you very much, and I'm sorry to say that we're really out of time here. And this has been Dawn Shipley and her valuable insights on becoming a wiser leader. You can connect with Dawn with the email address, and let me just spell it for you, dsiply@linkstaffing.com. Thanks to you listeners for tuning in. You can keep in contact with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. I'd like for you to make a resolution today, and that is, how am I going to keep on chasing for the rest of the day? Thank you, and God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.